Welcome to the Poetry Bath with me, Sian Thomas. My guest in this episode is Lydia Harris. Lydia lives on Westry on the Orkney Isles, and she is author of 4 pamphlets and 2 collections, the most recent of which, Henrietta's Library of the Whole Wide World, was published this year by Blue Diode Press. And Lydia is a remarkable poet of place and the people of place, and her place, of course, being Westry. Hope you enjoy the show. Harris, welcome back to the Poetry Bar.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me twice.
Lydia, we were just saying before we came on air, you were just saying that you for a moment forgot that the Poetry Bath is no longer includes music, and you'd picked your song, which is so the Corries.
Yes, I thought it would be really good to have Will You Know come back again. Yes, yeah. Well, I think I come from a line of Jacobites. Yeah, my maternal grandpa was certainly of Highland origin. And, well, who knows the others? I mean, they were Lowlanders, but they might well have had Highland blood as well. Yeah.
What was his...
He was a Michi, my maternal. And the Michis came from right up on the north coast. I think they did. Anyway, yes, yeah.
Lydia, for those people listening who didn't listen to the first programme that we made together, and also who don't know your work, you live on the Orkney island of Westry and have done so for some years now. Could you tell us all about how that came to be, please?
Yes, well, I've lived in my house for just over 10 years, but we first came to visit Westry on holiday in 2002. So after that, I visited every year. And it's just an immensely likeable place. And it's a really viable kind of vibrant community of 600 people with 2 kirks and 2 ministers and brilliant medical service and a school and shops and it's just beautiful. It's very bare, it's pasture land. And so the Neolithic inhabitants and then the Iron Age inhabitants and then the Norse inhabitants are really quite close because there's never been much building here. It's always been agricultural. And I do love that feeling of closeness to the very long distant past. And I also love the way the geology is always telling you about itself because there's no woodland. So the hills are very bare and rounded and there's no rivers. It's just such an interesting landscape, beautiful coast with wonderful beaches and amazing cliffs. So yes, it's a really fine place. And I love the kerfuffle and the clatter of the ferry. I love that if I want to go to the dentist, I go on the ferry for an hour and a half to town, which is such a convivial place to be because you always meet someone else there to have a chat to.
It just sounds like an incredible way of life and incredibly nourishing from what you're saying now. And I love this thing of the geology is always telling you about itself.
Yes, yeah, it is. Yeah, I think it's old red sandstone mostly here. And Yeah, it's not in a hurry and it's not over dramatic. There's nothing jagged or, well, I suppose the cliffs are dramatic, but the actual landscape is very sculpted and worn. Yeah, and I suppose are worn a lot by human feet. You know, there's a lot of old tracks and paths in Westry.
I wonder
Yeah.
whether something about sandstone, living on sandstone, does just, I hadn't thought about it before, but that idea of it wearing gently,
Yes.
it's really interesting because, of course, I'm also on sandstone and we're on
Yes,
wheels and yeah.
yes,
Yeah.
indeed, indeed. Yeah. No, that's an interesting thought, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And the Weald too is full of old tracks and
Yes,
lots
yeah.
of footwork here as well.
Yes. Yes, yeah, that is interesting. And
Ooh,
yeah.
so wonderful. So you're able to get a read. I like the it's also really nice you said the landscape is able to tell you about or is telling you about itself. That in it seems that comes across in your work so much. There is so much of your work is about a dialogue between
Yes, yeah.
you and the landscape.
Yes, yeah.
And oh, I think we should have a poem, you know. Well, I should say as well, in my infinitely professional way, because you have just launched a new collection, Henrietta's Library of the Whole Wide World. So will you be reading from that now?
Yeah, so I yes, I will, if that's okay.
Wonderful.
So I'll read the first poem. Which is called Henrietta's Lending Library. Think of each book as an ear of barley pressed into the other side of the hill, or paved and roofed, or draped with a pendant of walrus ivory. Think of each book as the marriage of purple and gall, as an eye drawn back, astonished. Think of each page as a discourse concerning your house with its cloths and carpets. Think of the papermakers in Holland, of the wooden boards clad in black leather. Think of the Roman faces of the Palace of Honour, small enough to hold in your hand. Think of The Godly Dream by Elizabeth Melville and the Psalms in Scott's Meter. Be sure to open the breviary before the Amen.
Wonderful. I'd written down one of the notes that I'd made was think of each book as an ear of barley.
Yeah.
That line is so
Oh,
wonderful.
yeah. And barley is a now anyway is that's a really widely grown crop because that's what you'd use to feed some of the beasts in the winter.
Wow.
So you would come across barley fields a lot, yeah. Oh, and in fact, in Orkney, certainly in the past, and to now as well, barley was the chief grain, I suppose, beside oat. So you would make loaves or you'd make bannocks out of barley, and it was called bear, BERE. It was an old kind of barley. So people didn't really get wheat flour here until the 20th century, I suppose. So barley was important. Yes.
It sounds absolutely integral to
Yeah.
staying alive. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful. So let's unpack that poem then, if we may, because there are so many references to life on Westry, life in the islands.
Yes.
Tell me a little about the rest of it.
Oh, so the Orkney had the earliest or one of the earliest lending libraries in the UK. So in 1670 or something like that, so it had a lending library in the main island. I was reading about it and I just misread a date. So the North Isles, and Westry is one of the North Isles, also had lending libraries that some of the lairds made available, but they weren't until the 19th century when lots of people, you know, it wasn't uncommon to have a lending library. And So initially, I thought that Westry had its library in 1690, and the archivist pointed out to me that I had actually misread that six for an eight. And so everybody had libraries in 1890, so I wasn't really that keen. But then I thought I can still have a library in Westry in 1690. And Henrietta was a real woman, and I know the place where the library eventually was made. So I put her there because it's a very old farm, and she did live there, Henrietta Balfour, but I played fast and loose with dates some of the time.
So, did she live there in the 17th century?
She lived there in the early 18th. She may have been born at the end of the 17th.
I love the idea that you miss with trigger 200 years out, but then oh no, look, I'll just imagine this anyway. It's a very poetic thing to do.
It was such a pleasure to, and there were quite a lot of, oh well, I don't know when the printed, I mean, yeah, there were printed books available then, and they're beautifully recorded in the National Library of Scotland and other places as well. So I was able to look up what was around at the time. And so The Godly Dream by Elizabeth Melville, no, is a real book, and there's another book mentioned in that too, and then others are in other places. And there's one, an account, actually it's an English book, but it's an account of one lately returned from the dead that just sounded so amazingly fascinating.
Have you managed to see and to read any of it?
No, but yeah, I just found them on in lists of what was available. Yeah. It
wonder.
would be fun to do that though, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I wonder what the account actually is.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
It's lovely, really lovely. And it in that opening, that's the opening poem of the collection.
Yeah, yeah.
And it does, as opening poems always should, though it contains the seeds of so much of the rest of the collection, really, doesn't
Yeah,
it?
yeah.
And it really struck me reading the collection the other day, the connection for you between books and the land.
Oh yeah, yes.
It's so strong. Could you talk? Could you
Yeah.
summarize that?
Yeah. Well, I think that the books contain the land in some way, and they contain the history of the people who made this land in so many ways. And yes, and I think people revere books. I suppose education encouraged people to revere books. And then the churches, the kirks were important here. Well, they were important everywhere, I suppose, but maybe very important here. And like the book mattered a lot, and the written word mattered a lot. And that's rather garbled to answer to your question. But the book's a great container, isn't it? And like the map's a great container, and also the book for Westry didn't just contain Westry, but because you would get the linen thread for the stitching would probably come from St. Petersburg, or and the leather would maybe come from, or certainly some of the boards and the leather came from Holland, I think, or the Netherlands. I think some of the paper would come from Europe as well. So the book was really bringing together lots of people from far, far and wide. Yes. In Orkney, I think there is a poem in the book about the Icelandic scribe. So Orkney was written up, was recorded in the sagas, and they were written in Iceland in the absolute flowering of Icelandic culture. So the book kind of reaches out and draws people together, I think.
Yes, draws people and draws cultures together. Absolutely. It's yeah. Could you give us another poem, please? Because we're
Yes,
actually running out of time in the first half, would you
yes,
believe?
no, that. Well, I will. Right. So this is a poem about a book that I would have wished for Henrietta, and it's a real book. It's called the, well, lots of them are. It's called The Book of Deer, and it's the earliest Scottish book, and it's 900, and it would fit in your poem. It's a gospel book. It's got parts of three of the gospels and a few services for ministers, and it was written in a abbey near Aberdeen, and it's very plain. It's not at all a luscious gilded manuscript. It's very plainly written with the most gorgeous, almost ironically humorous illustrations. And at one point, one of the scribes must have got quite fed up. And so he writes in his lovely, neat hand, "Say a prayer for the soul of the wretch who wrote it." So I think this poem is for that man, or woman, but I guess it was a male place actually. "Say a prayer for the soul of the wretch who wrote it. Pocket gospel book, annotated in the margins, pages of shadowy figures, books in satchels round their necks, or house shrines tucked under their chins, ghosts squeezed onto 6 inches by four, copied to vellum in minuscule texts, Christ's open arms beyond the frame." So that's the Book of Deer, and actually it is based in a library in Oxford or Cambridge, and it did make it back to Scotland for a while last year. It came to Aberdeen, which is, I think legally it seems to be tied to, but it's a pity. Yes,
It's a pity that it went back again.
it is, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. I like that. And I wanted to ask you about the connection between books and the body, because that's another theme that comes up in the collection. Could you talk about that? I was just listening to you talking about the book being carried in a pouch under the chin and how the book is almost like a baby. It's sort of.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. No, true, because there's discussion. So there's a lot of they're almost humorous, the drawings. They're just ink drawings in the Book of Deer. And often it's rows of monks with fantastically curly moustaches. And they've got what could be a satchel under their chins, which would be interpreted as being a book satchel. Or they could be little portable shrines. But anyway, books were kind of holy objects. So it would be good if the book was in a shrine. Yes. And then, but any book, and that's really interesting about the book being held close to your body. But books, we do describe books in sort of bodily terms because they have spines and oh, what else do they have? They spine, they open, they sort of flex, and they have heads and their head bands, and so they do feel as if we are describing them in terms of a body a lot of the time. Yeah.
Absolutely, and the fact that they used to be bound in skin.
Yes. And lady skin as well. Some of the early volumes would be, of course, written on vellum,
Of course,
and then written with an animal, written with a bird, with a swan feather maybe, or
And also thinking about how precious, especially at a time when they were so rare, that we need to keep the things that are precious and valuable, of course, very, very close to our bodies to stop them being stolen.
Yes, because they each book represented hours and hours of labor, didn't it? Yeah.
You've been listening to the Poetry Bath with me, Sian Thomas, and my guest, Lydia Harris. Our theme tune was composed and performed by Nigel Horn, and there will be more conversation and poetry from Lydia next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.